Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello, and thank you for downloading this week's Swiss Info Podcast. I'm Claire O'Dea. For the second time in less than a year, the Bernese Oberland is the scene of a military tragedy, with five presumed dead in a rafting accident. And Zurich is ranked the best place to live in a world survey. More on these stories later, but first to football. After two games, it's all over for the Swiss national football team, whose defeat against Turkey on Wednesday ended any hope of advancing to the quarterfinals in the Euro 2008 championships. All the more disappointing as Switzerland is co-hosting the football event with Austria. Earlier, I asked Thomas Stevens, who's been covering the matches for Swiss Info, where it all went wrong for the Swiss.
Well, it never really went right for the Swiss. Some people are talking about bad luck, and that Switzerland did have an above-average number of injuries running up to the match, and indeed during it. But I don't buy the bad luck excuse. It ignores the fact that Switzerland did actually have a lot of chances in the match, especially against the Czech Republic. Against the Czechs, they had more possession, they had better chances, and they had more shots on goal. It's just they did not convert these chances on goal. And at this level, you've got to convert your chances, something Swiss didn't do.
And so the third game of their group is on Sunday against Portugal. Can anything be salvaged from their last remaining match?
I don't think so. I mean, people talk about pride and thanking the fans. I mean, Kobi Kuhn, the Swiss coach, said the public deserves another quality match from us. I can't think of any positives from the Portuguese match. Portugal's through. I can't think of any positives on the pitch. Off the pitch, it's great. Euro 2008 is going really well. I mean, the fans are loving it.
And there have been some surprise results as well in the tournament, with some of the big guns like Italy and Germany suffering defeats against less favoured teams. What countries have emerged as strong contenders to win, would you say?
Yeah, Germany did start off as favourites, but they lost against Croatia on Thursday night, which was a slight setback. They should still qualify. Spain are now the slight favourites after tonking Russia 4-1. But Portugal, Netherlands, Germany, they're not too far behind. And also Croatia, they're looking pretty fiddly and hard to beat. And they could be the tournament's dark horses.
So there's plenty of entertainment still left in the championships. The final will take place on Sunday, June 29th. And now to the army rafting accident, which happened on June 12th. Three militia soldiers died and two are missing, presumed dead. Several more were injured. Last summer, six army recruits died in an avalanche in the same region, attempting to climb the Jungfrau mountain despite the high avalanche risk. As Dale Bechtel reports from Spiez, near the scene of the latest tragedy, there are parallels between the two accidents.
Journalists from across the country raced to the banks of the Kander River near Spiez after learning of the latest accident involving militia soldiers. The sound of search and rescue helicopters flying low over the river interrupted a hastily called news conference on a couple of occasions, but it didn't matter. The army and police officials had few answers to the many questions about how the accident took place and why members of an Air Force company were carrying out an exercise on a stretch of river considered dangerous. Army spokesman Felix Endrich was at least able to say what the troops, based at an airfield about an hour away from the scene of the accident, were doing in the area.
If they have an order, for example, to run a temporary airfield somewhere in Switzerland, and they have to protect this airfield. So this troop goes there, he prepares the airfield, protects the airfield so that the helicopters can land there.
More will become clear when statements from the four surviving soldiers are made public. What is known is that the rafting excursion was part of a so-called team-building exercise. While the army was not willing to comment on the risks of rafting on the Kander, commercial rafting operators say the stretch of water in question is a no-go zone due to the many concrete wears in the river. Rafts can easily flip over while crossing these low barriers, and experts say it is nearly impossible for anyone falling into the churning, spinning water below the wear to free themselves. So the question remains, Why did the soldiers choose to put their rafts into a particularly dangerous stretch of water? It's a similar question to the one raised last year. Why climb a mountain knowing full well that there was a high risk of avalanches?
Dale Bechtel ending that report there from Spiez. Zurich is still the best place to live, according to an international survey of the world's biggest cities. Geneva and Bern also made it into the top 10. This is the seventh time in a row that the largest Swiss city has gained the number one spot. Switzerland's financial centre beat off competition from 215 cities worldwide in the 2008 quality of living rankings published by consulting group Mercer. The top five cities were Zurich, Vienna, Geneva, Vancouver and Auckland. And now for some of the more light-hearted stories making the headlines this week. It's official. Men prefer football to sex. According to an eminent sexologist quoted in Le Matin newspaper, sex is no longer an essential preoccupation for men, who are more excited watching their beloved sport on television. Ronald Virag even predicts a slump in the birth rate in 9 months' time because of the effect of the beautiful game on the national libido. And bad luck for a group of Swiss opera enthusiasts who travelled to see The Barber of Seville in Vicenza in Italy. When they tried to return home the next day, they discovered their 50-seater coach had been stolen. Hopes of finding it again are slim, according to the police. And now to our Out and About section, where Swiss info journalists report back from their travels. When Switzerland's first mixed bathing area opened at Weggis near Lucerne in 1919, the authorities had to ban hobby photographers from taking pictures. They may have been a nuisance to people relaxing at the lakeside, but the resulting pictures today offer a fascinating glimpse into bathing in times gone by. The photographs form part of the current Lust for the Lake Public Baths in Lucerne exhibition at the city's Museum of History. Isabel Leibold Johnson went along to find out more.
The mixed Weggis baths proved rather popular with the public when they opened in 1919, although not for all the right reasons, as museum director Heinz Horat told me.
In 1919, from the 20th of July until September, there were about 33,000 people coming into the bath. It's much. They were, on the one side, people bathing, about 18,000, and about 15,000 were people looking. And this photograph shows exactly what happened. So this lady here is in the bathing suit of the time, and you see these persons right there behind, dressed, smoking, and they're looking.
Photographers were also attracted to the baths, so much so that in the end the authorities banned the taking of photos to let people have some privacy. The Weggis baths were a rather daring concept for the time, but it was just after the First World War and tourism was slow. Critics thundered that the baths were immoral, but police inspections reported no problems at all. People seemed to be enjoying their newfound bathing freedom. This was also reflected in the change in bathing attire. At first, women struggled with their heavy woolen costumes, but by the 1920s, fashion had intervened. Suits became skimpier, and a matching cap was de rigueur. It was an itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, yellow polka-dot bikini that she wore for the first time today. But it was the arrival of the bikini in the 1940s that really caused a stir.
This is a typical one of the 60s, like the time of Brigitte Bardot, for instance. Red with these white dots. Very typical polka dot bikini, as it was called at the time. And this is a younger one of the beginning of the 70s with this story of Ursula Andress, Honey Rider in Dr. No in the film, coming out of the water, this famous bikini. And this is the same type here.
After Weggis came the Lucerne Lido, named after the famous Venice beach of the same name, as well as several others. Although some of the older baths have now disappeared, people can still go for a dip in the lake, in Vegas too.
Many people in Switzerland have just a few hundred meters to go to the beach somewhere. And what is very good that we don't have just official baths. We have many beaches open to the public in general. For instance, here in Lucerne, there is one big park right on the beach. And here everybody can go. You don't have to pay anything. You just be there all day long. And many people like that.
So when the sun comes out, chances are you'll still see many Swiss taking the plunge. But you'll be joined by fewer, if any, photographers.
That was Isabel Leibold Johnson diving into the water in Vegas, I think. It's time to end this week's podcast in a holiday mood. All we need now is the weather. Thanks for listening, and remember you can find out more on these stories and others on our website, www.swissinfo.ch.